Well, good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you by Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Dalet, and we're holding right at the Halak Mishnah, Shlosha Minim Asurim Benazir. Of course, we already had the Mishnah of Shlosha Minim Asurim Benazir before, and we're only quoting that opening in order for it to serve as the introduction to the analysis of the difference between these three minim. So we're going to see in which sense every one of these minim is actually different and has a unique quality that the others don't have. So we know that the shloshim minim are tuma, so he's not allowed to be metame himself, tiglachat, he's not allowed to shave, and he's not allowed to have anything that is yotze min hagefen. We talked about each one of these in detail. So now let's compare them to each other to clarify the dinim. So chomer betuma ubetiglachat biyotze min hagefen. There is something of a greater chumrah, specifically when it comes to tuma and to haircuts, that does not appear in drinking wine. And that is very clearly, we know exactly what that is. The tuma and the tiglachat are sotrim. You can have the tuma that will wipe out all of the days that the person has already kept as his naziras, and when he shaves his hair, he can wipe out the coming days. According to the Rambam, the very fact that he doesn't have hair means he cannot be meineh, and according to the other Rishonim, it means that if towards the end of his naziras he doesn't have sufficient 30-day growth to be able to do the tiglachat, so then he'll have to add on to his naziras at the end. But in any event, it turns out to be soter. I mean, it's true, it's soter in the opposite direction, in a sense. Although you could say that if he already finished his naziras and he lost his hair on the last day, he's going to lose 30 days because he has to wait till his hair grows back. So you could call that stirat too, you know. Okay, but the bottom line is that there is absolutely no impact on him from drinking wine or something. I yotze min hagefen, it's going to affect any of the days that he had already kept. I mean, the only time that we had is in the case where he didn't realize that it was a nazir and he was continuing to drink and so on. So we said over there, minarabbanan, he has to keep the number of days that he was over, or 30 days equivalent, if it was more than 30 days, whichever is less. But that's not called the real din of stira. I mean, it's just the knas minarabbanan. Okay, so that's what is unique, that the yotze min hagefen is not soter. Now, on the other hand, the yotzim and hagefen is more chomer than any of the other things. It's more chomer than tumah v'tiglachat. So what we're looking at right now is the special qualities that affect yotzim and hagefen. So yotzim and hagefen is not soter, but yotzim and hagefen does have a chumrah. And what is that chumrah? Hayotzim and hagefen lo utar mecholo. There's absolutely zero exceptions. In other words, we said before, well, would we allow him to drink Yayin shal mitzvah? So we have a yayin shal mitzvah. Could be that he made a shvua to drink wine. First of all, maybe he's referring to Kiddush v'Avdolah, but we said that's really only the Rabbanan, that it should be specifically Kiddush v'Avdolah. Okay. So in that case, we said, no, we learned out from the Pasuk, we're never going to be matir. And we had really, the two psukim of legabe, the yayin v'shechar, that even yayin shal mitzvah is osir. And that's the only thing that we don't have exceptions for, because the tuma and the tiglachas are hutra michla lehem. Hutra michla lehem means there are exceptions. So what are the exceptions? I mean, obviously, we have the case of tiglachas mitzvah. So where we had the nazir was the mitzera, and he has a chiev to do tiglachas. We learned out of the pasuk of Rosho and Zikano. We learned out of the pasuk that he is going to shave as an Uzzir, and as a mitzvah, to shave as an Uzzir. That's a very striking exception to the Isser of Tiglachas. Same thing is true of the Tuma. The Tuma is a Meis Mitzvah, as we just had, and he has a Chiev to be Mitameh. We never find that a Uzzir would be allowed, certainly not that he's Mechuyev, to drink wine. So that's the special cases of the drinking. Now, there's also a chumrah of tuma over tiglachat as well. Because even though both of them are soter, the tuma is soter at the takol. And If a Nazir became Tomei, he has to bring the Korbanos of the Nazir. That's a tremendous chumrah. V'chayavino lav korban. Now, the Tiglachat, I understand that the Tiglachat is soter. I mean, if you want to use that word, we're using it a different way, of course. But the Tiglachat ain't a soteret ela shloshim, ve'ein chayavin aleihem korban. So then that means that we have something very specific about the nature of the drinking and about the nature of the tuma as opposed to anything else. Now, the question is, how do we live with this? I mean, normally, when we have these kinds of differentiations, we have three halakhos that are the same, should be the same. And we're saying, no, they're not the same. But the question is, why doesn't one of them reflect on the others? Why don't we learn out one from the others? Where do we come to be so certain that these are unique qualities? So let me point out, if we're allowing you to be metame, we have to ask, why should we? Let us not be metame, allow him to be metame. Tuma lo tutar michlala. Because it should be a kal v'chomer from yayin. Yayin is like very kal, right? It doesn't cause any problems with the counting of the naziras. So over there, it's not soter at all. And yet we said, there's never an exception to the iser of drinking wine. Can never drink wine for anything. So if Tuma is so much more chomer that it will be soter at everything, and it's chayav korbanos, everything that we said. So for sure, Einodin, shelo tutar michlala, for sure there should be no heter. Talmud lomar, okay, well, we know the answer to that. Le'aviv, ule'imo, lo yitama. The Torah stresses that a nazir is more chomer than the kohen, and he is not allowed to be metame for the relatives that a kohen would be allowed to be metame for. Ko yemei aziro la'shem al nefesh meit lo yavo. Even l'aviv, l'imo, l'achiv, l'achoto, even those. Lo yitame alahem is usher to be metame b'motam. So, if that's the case, when it repeats, it started with al nefesh meit lo yavo, for any nefesh meit, and then it stresses again, l'aviv, l'imo, l'achiv, and so on and so forth. So, by mentioning it again, it's giving us a limud that even though there's no exceptions made, but only exceptions for relatives. Aviv, Imo, Achiv, Achoto. But the din of meit mitzvah still remains. So la'aviv eino metameh, avo metameh ula meit mitzvah. Next question. All right, so then let's turn around and be matir liyayin, because it's a kal v'chomer. That if yayin should be yutar b'chlolo, because it's a kal v'chomer from tuma. If tuma, which is so chomer, that it's soter everything, and nonetheless it's sutra b'chlolo in the case of a meis mitzvah, a yayin, which is very kal, it doesn't have any din of stira, so for sure it should be mutter in the event that there's a mitzvah to drink, since he made a shvua that he's going to drink, so then it should be mutter. Omakra, that's why we have the extra pasuk b'yayin v'sheichar yazir. So even though the Torah said b'feirish that chaimetz yayin, chaimetz sheichar, mishrat anavim, anavim lachim, I mean, for God's sake, doesn't that include yayin v'sheichar? It does, but the reason that the Torah specified miyayin v'sheichar comes to tell me from any kind of yayin, even yayin mitzvah. Now, the only case that we had of yayin mitzvah midiraisa, we came out before, was talking about where the person had made a shvua. They're just going to be drinking wine. Fine. But even there, le'esor yein mitzvah ki yein rishos. Fine. Okay, so then it should be the other way around. So then we ought to learn out, if the Torah is telling me that there's no exceptions, the guy be drinking wine, oh my gosh, the yayin is so chomor that there's no exceptions, so then we should learn out that it should be seiser. Kal v'chomer mituma. If tuma, which is hutra michlala in the case of a meis mitzvah, soteret everything, yayin, which never has an exception, for sure should be seiser. So why did we say that yayin is not soser at all? Omar kra, v'hayamim arishonim yiplu, ki tamei nizro. Why does it stress? Obviously, that's what you said. V'hayamim arishonim yiplu. I mean, the case was a case of tuma. So what are you giving me the reasons? Ki tamei nizro. That's the point. The only reason that it's so sir is because ki tame nizro, which proves that tuma and only tuma is sotert and not yayin. But okay, so if you say, what about tiglachat? You said tiglachat is only sotert shloshim yom. But where'd you get that from? We should say that actually tiglachat should for sure be sotert all of the days because it's a kal vachomer. I'll tell you what the kal vachomer is, something we haven't thought about before. When it comes to tuma, if someone else is matame a nazir, he does not get malchus. There's no iser on another person of being matame the nazir. So umatum ash lo asuba mitame kemitame. The Torah never created a chi of malchus and a nazhara for someone else who is matame a nazir in the same way that the nazir would be chayav if he was matame himself. And nonetheless, despite that kula, the tuma is soteret et hakol. Now, when it comes to the tiglachat, where we're going to see that over there, it does give an iser to anybody else to be megaleach the nazir, and it does create a situation in which the megaleach and the mitgaleach are both going to be the same. So whether it was a reflexive giluach or whether someone else did the giluach, it's the same iser, so that's much more chomer. So then, so for sure, if it's going to be soter, it has to be soter everything. Yeah, but I already told you, it says in the pasuk, hayomim arishonim yiplu ki tamei nizro. That tells me that the only time we say hayomim arishonim yiplu is as a result of exposure to tuma. Tuma is soter tatako, but tiglachat ain't tiglachat soter tatako. By the way, why don't we make that a kal vachomer? We should say that if you're not allowed to shave a nazir, the same way he's not allowed to shave himself, so it should be a kal vachomer that you're not allowed to be metame a nazir, he's not allowed to be metame himself. What's the kal vachomer? Tuma, na'aseba metame kemitame, a kal vachomer from tiglachat. If tiglachat, which is not as chomer as tuma, it is not soter everything. It's only soter shloshim yom. And the din over there, even in that relatively minor satira, the halacha is that the Torah treats the person who does a giluach to a nazir the same way it treats the nazir himself who does a giluach, meaning it treats you to that lovely treat of malchus. So if that's the case, then for sure tuma, which is soter et hakol, it should do exactly the same thing. We should make one category, someone who's metame and Uzzer, and Uzzer's metame himself. Both of them should be Uzzer in the same way. And there should be a chiev of Malkus. Well, it says in the pasuk, vitime rosh nizro. Why do you think it adds vitime rosh nizro? To tell you exactly this halacha, that only one who was metame his own rosh nizro, his Rosh Nizro, to be Matame a Rosh Nizro of someone else is not a Chiev. And therefore the Azara is specifically on Mr. Nazirhead, who's going to go now and be Matame his Nazirhead. Okay, so I got another question. So then why don't we turn around and say that if that's the case, that even when it comes to Tuma, which is more Chomer in terms of Stira, the Torah says that the Isser only applies to the person himself, Mr. Nazirhead. So then why isn't that true of Tuma too? You said I'm saying the idea over there, sorry, of the Tiglachas would apply even to somebody else, but even for Tuma, it doesn't. So then we should say the same thing by the shaving. If the Torah says that even if you're metame, Mr. Nazirhead, you're not chayev, so course you can't. If you cut Mr. Nazirhead, you're not chayev because tuma is more chomer than cutting. So then tiglachat lo naaseh ba migaleach kemitgaleach, a kal vachomer from actually the dinim of tuma. If tuma, which is so chomer, that it cancels the entire deal, so ma tuma shi soteret et hakol lo asupa metame kemitame tiglachat, which is only soter shloshim yom. So for sure, it's more kal, and we should not treat the person who shaves a nazir's head like the nazir himself, the same way that we don't treat someone who's metame a nazir like the nazir himself. That too we learn from the pasuk, Omar Kra, ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho. What are we talking about? A ta'ar lo ya'avor al rosho. Who are we talking to? It's a passive act? What have we got, like a self-motivated tire? Watch out, the razor's on its way. Lo yavar al rosho. What does that mean? Why don't we talk about the iser of the shaving? That's the point. I don't really care who's moving that tar. Don't let that tar go over his head. So that means even if you are not the Nazir, that's like a totally different approach to Vitimei Rosh Nizro, right? You must admit, very striking. So that is coming to tell me that whoever it is that's making that razor move, that's the one that's going to be chayiv. So kribe lo yavar hu, or lo yavar la'ach, whoever it is, he shouldn't be ma'avir, and it should not be over by himself. Either way, it's going to be the same chiyuv. Okay, so there's another interrelationship. We said that there are cases, which is the case of a mitzora, where the nazir is a mitzora, that we will cancel and allow you to do a tiglachat, because it's uter michlala. Why? It should be a chavachom rabbi yayin, that it should not be uter michlala. If yayin does not soter at all, again, except for the Knas de Rabbanan, sometimes when the person was Hayashay Sibiyayin and things like that. But generally speaking, certainly Bidi Rais, there's no real concept of stira, of ruining the Naziris by drinking wine. So if wine that isn't soter, we can't find a single case where we're going to be allowing you even to be Makayim Ashvua de Raisa. We're not going to allow you to drink wine if you're a Nazir. So then kosher cane, the Tiglachat, which is usher and in soteret with its sister, in odin shalot tutar mechalat, so why should we allow you to get away with it? Omar Rachmana, that we learned it out, remember, rosho by the mitzora, or zikano, remember we had the bachlokas with the chachomim, Reb Eliezer, but whatever it is we learned out from the extra pasuk of rosho or zikano, that specifically, even if the mitzora is a nazir, the Torah is adding this to tell me that it's Deucha, the Naziris. Okay, so now I have another question. This is amazing to see the way all of the Isurim really have to be, have the clear-cut indication on every one of them that the Halacha is specifically the way that we were Mekabalit. So what about Tiglachat? We said that Tiglachat is Soter. It's Soter Shloshim, but it shouldn't be Soter anything. Kavachom Remiyayin. If yayin shlohu tar michlolo eno soter, tiglachat, which is utra michlola, eno din shlo tistor. So isn't it clear that the yayin, which is very chomer in the sense that we never allow you to get away with drinking wine, even where it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and you made a shvua, which is mamash a shvua d'oraisa, and nonetheless, we're not going to allow you to drink it. And eno soter, so a tiglachat, which is nowhere near as chomer, because we do allow you, in the case of tzaras, to do the tiglachat because of the mitzvah, ein adin shelo tistor. So then it's nowhere near as chomer as the idea of the yayin. So then tiglachat should not be soter. Says the Gemara, but that's not a reasonable question. Because remember, the stira of the tiglachat is not stira in the sense of it erasing the Naziris that you did. The point over there of the Tiglachat is because you need to have hair in order to be able to do, either according to the Rambam, in order to be able to count your Naziris, or according to the other Rishonim, in order to be able to conclude your Naziris and do the haircut. So what we're talking about is much more of a technical requirement. It has nothing to do with the Chumrah. It has to do with the way that Naziris is constructed. So it's constructed around hair. If you don't have that hair, so you've got a problem. If there was some way in which you could suddenly make your head grow hair, it wouldn't be soter. But so Enochinami, we heard that Harry Potter did not have a problem in his Naziris of every time they kept giving him a haircut. It was no problem. But there was no stira. But most people can't do that. So, okay, so it's a technical requirement. So the idea over there is be'inan gidol se'ar v'haleka. Okay, so what about the din that yayin is not soter? Why don't we say that yayin is soter? Yayin should be soter shloshim yom kal v'chomer mitiglachat. If even tiglachat, which is so kal, that you're allowed to do tiglachat in the case of the mitzvah, namely in the case of the mitzvah, so yayin shalohu tar michlalo, yayin, which is very chomer. You never have an excuse for drinking wine as a nazir, even where it's a mitzvah d'oraisa because you made a shvua. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to. So for sure, it should be soter. So where do you get the idea that yayin isn't soter? Well, the idea of the yayin, to base this, what, on the tiglachat, it's pretty obvious that it's not going to affect the din of the yayin, because remember that when we're talking about the specific din of the stira over here, that din was not really stira. It was because of Gidel Seyar. Now, are you going to tell me that when he drinks the wine, his hair is suddenly not hair? Like, what possible relationship is there to the reality of having cut off his hair to having had some wine? I mean, that kavachomer doesn't make any sense. If we were talking about a halacha that comes from there being some type of gzeres hakasuv and so on, but it's not. That din is not a halacha of din stira mamish. It's just a technical requirement. Since that technical requirement doesn't appear in the case of yayin, it doesn't make sense to apply it to yayin, because gabe yayin hoka'im saro. When it comes to the wine, his hair is still left in perfectly good shape. We do have Sir Richard with us, and being as we're smack bang in the middle of the daf, and we didn't get much action out of any talisker yesterday, so let's take a look at the... Yeah, there we go. Now let's talk about the tiglachat of the Nazir Tame. So we talked about the inyanim of tiglachas of Tahira, and we're going to get back to them. Let's talk about the tiglachas Tuma, Ketza. So obviously the first issue is to make sure that you're Tahar. So you need Hazoya, Shlishavishvi, and then you need Tfila in order to be able to be Tahar. And then you may be korbanotav bishmini. Now the Mishnah doesn't mention over here that you have to do the tefillah. Most hold that you actually do have to do the tefillah before you do the gilua. Some of the rishonim are mashma that even if you ended up doing the gilua before tefillah, it would be kosher. It's not borer to me. And then after the end of the seventh day, so at this point, the Nazir is tar. He's no longer a Mu'ur of Shemesh. He's no longer a Tvuyom. He's now a Mu'ur of Shemesh. And therefore, on the eighth day, he can now bring his Karbonas. So now everything will work out. And therefore, he can't bring it before, because he needs to be completely tar. Now the question is, supposed, instead of doing the Giluach on the eighth day, he did the Giluach on the eighth day. Could he still bring his Karbonas on the same day? Or is the din of the Giluach necessarily on the next day, which is the case of a Metzera? Remember, the Metzera, the Giluach is part of the Seder of his Tahara. So he could never possibly do the Giluach on the same day as the bringing of the Karbonas, because he doesn't become Torah until he does the Giluach and then does the Tefillah, which is very much the opposite of Nazir. So what about the Nazir? If the Nazir did his Giluach on the eighth day, says Rabbi Akiva, what's the problem? He can bring Karbonas on the same day that he did his Giluach, as long as he was Torah from yesterday. Oh, Marlo Rabbi Tarfum, why do you say that? Ma ben zelen mitzorah. I mean, why is this different than the case of a mitzorah, where we know for a fact that he cannot do the Hakrovas HaKorbanos until after he does his Giluach? Said Rabbi Akiva, obviously, I understand what the comparison is. The case of the Nazir, the Giluach is not part of his Taira. The Giluach is part of the Nazirus. But in the case of the Mitzorah, the Giluach is part of the Taira. So you need to do the Giluach in order to become Tar, and only then is the Tefillah going to enable you to become Tor and to become a Mu'ur of Shemesh. So obviously, if you did the Giluach, which is part of the Seder of the Taira, And then you're going to go to the mikveh, which is the only time you can go to the mikveh. How could you bring the korbanos on the same day? Because you can't bring the korbanos as a tful yom, can you? Remember that the mitzvah has to go into the Beis HaMikdash in order to bring those korbanos, because he has to get sprinkled, he has to put his thumbs and his toes into past Shar Niknar and get the dam of the Asher HaMetzorah sprinkled on them, and the oil. So therefore, I don't understand what you're talking about. The Nazir has nothing to do with his Tahira. We need to do the Tahira in order to get around to doing now the Nazir. It's fine. The Tahira consists of Hazoya Shlishi Vishvi and Tfila. Now you're confusing things. You're saying, yeah, but he's a Nazir. Doesn't he need Giluach? Yes, he does, but it's a separate issue, right? So Zetarata Tulu Yabiyamav, but the Mitzorah is actually dependent in the Seder HaTahara, which is dependent on his Tiglachat as a Mitzorah, and therefore the Tiglachat is part of his becoming Tor. And he can't bring his Korban unless he already was past the sunset of the day of the Tvila, because otherwise he would be a Tvuyom. So in order to bring his Korban, Eino Mevi Korban, Ela Imkena Yamu Urav Shemesh. There you go. So since it says, and this is the Lashon HaPasuk, Vaya Bayom HaShivi'i, Yigalach et kol saro v'rachatz et besaro b'mayim. It's obvious that the Yigalach et kol saro is part of the Seder of precisely rachatz et besaro b'mayim, which is the Tvila b'mikvah. Seems pretty clear. Did Rabbi Tarfon agree in the end? Did Rabbi Tarfon realize that it didn't make any sense? And therefore, in the end, he was mekabel from Rabbi Akiva that a Nazir, who ended up doing his Giluach later on the next day, would still be able to bring his korbanos on the same day of the Giluach, or did he continue to maintain that there's a similarity of necessity between Tzaraas and the of the Tiglachas of Nazir, which seems rather strange. Alone, you might want to mute. So can we find out if Rabbi Tarfon gave up? Yes, says Gemara, we can. Take a look at a Braisa, Toshma. The Tani Hillel, Gilach Bashmini, by the way, we rarely have this kind of Lashon Tani Hillel, because Hillel was way before the prices. So obviously this is not Hillel. I mean, it's not the Hillel that we're used to, it's Hillel HaZaken. It was some of the later Tanaim that were called Hillel. There were many Hillels in history. So the Tani Hillel, Gilach Bashmini, Mevi Korbanotav, Batashi'i. So if the Nazir had actually, this sounds very strangely like Rabbi Tarfon, if he had put off his Giluach, so then he could only bring his Korban the next day. So this doesn't make any sense, does it? Unless he's quoting, actually, the Tana in our Mishnah holds that, who is, of course, Rabbi Tarfon. So he's talking like the Kibla. I mean, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Tarfon pulled back and said, that was a mistake, so how would we have a brisa with Hillel that was still insisting, which is after the Mishnah, still insisting that that should be the Shita that he's posicking like? Why couldn't he bring according to this? Leitzei Korbanot Tavashmini? Why wouldn't he have been able to bring his Korban on the eighth day? So apparently Rabbi Tarfon did not agree. And therefore the Mishnah, the brisa over here is going on leaving Rabbi Tarfon. So we have to figure out what indeed is a machlokas. Oh, my Rava, that doesn't prove anything. I would say that Rabbi Tarfon does agree. And the fact that you have Hillel's Bryce over here, that's not a problem. Lokasha, I mean, Lokasha is not, I mean, it wasn't a kasha. We're using the word Lokasha sort of loosely. But it means it doesn't, you know, that doesn't present any barrier to my saying, that's what it means. Not that it's not a question, but it's not a difficulty for me to be able to still assert that Rabbi Tarfon had accepted it. But remember, Lashon of Nazir is Mishuneh. So this is another one of those Mishunehs. I guess everybody, when they enter in the sphere of Nazir, turn weird just a little bit, you know. So they start talking weirdly. All right. So it's very simple. The Mishnah that says that if the Nazir was Migaleach, according to Rabbi Akiva, who also argues with Rabbi Tarfon and shows him that that makes perfectly good sense, that he could bring it on the same day, that's true, but that's talking about where he had already gone to the mikveh the day before. So if he was Taval, Bashvi'i, so fine, then there would be no problem. But the case in the Braita that says over here, But he has to wait until the next day? That was talking about that he didn't go to the mikvah on the 8th day, on the 7th day. He went to the mikvah on the 8th day. If he went to the mikvah on the 8th day, then Einar Chinami. Even Rabbi Akiva would say, well, of course, then he has to wait until the next day in order to bring a korban. Now you'll ask, so that's crazy. I mean, so why would we behind the scenes switch the day that he went to the mikvah? No, because it's coming to me a chiddush, you see. Because the Nazir's Tahira does not necessarily, you would think, his being Tomei does not preclude his sending korbanos. Because Bishlama, the Mitzvah, he absolutely must be in the Beis HaMikdash. Otherwise, you can't do the whole Seder of the Asham and the Lug Mitzvah, Lug Shemen for Mitzvah, you couldn't do to him. But the Nazir, let's imagine a case where the Nazir was unable to go to the Mikvah. And now he wants to send his korbanos with someone else to be brought so that he can conclude the Naziris of Tyra, to whom as he can begin his Naziris of Tyra. So you would think, okay, so fine. So let him not go to the Beis HaMikdash. Let him ask his friend to bring the korbanos for him, give it to the Kohen. The Kohen will bring, I mean, this is certainly a possibility if you hold that he can be Mishaleach korbanosa. So therefore, since we see that Rabbi Akiva holds there is no option like that, we're going to see that Rabbi Akiva learns that he himself has to be Roy to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, he Bedavka wanted to teach a case where you'd be scratching your head and you'd be saying, well, understand, why couldn't he bring the korban on the same day he did the Giluach? Ah, because when it says Giluach, it means he also hadn't been Mitevel. Couldn't he have sent his korban? No. So it's bringing out us this halacha that he cannot be Mishaleach Korban Otav and he needs to actually be Tar. So that makes sense. Okay, so now, once we talk about this, this opens up a whole, I shouldn't say worms, of course, because these are wonderful sugyas, but it opens up a whole can of new flying kedushim. So let's think about what we're taking for granted over here. Because what we're saying is the Mitzorah has to be in the Beis HaMikdash. The Nazir wouldn't be able to come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring his korbanos. Now, this, of course, all revolves around the Iker halachas of entry into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, entry into the Beis HaMikdash is a complex sugya, right? Because we know that there were Sholosh Machanos. We had the Machane Yisrael in the Midbar, which was, of course, the entire area of the Machane around the that were outside of the Mishkan complex itself. And there too, just like there was a specific separation between the Machanos themselves, there was also the separation between all of the four Machanos led by the four major Shvatim that had the Degel Machane, Reuven, and so on. So the middle was the Mishkan. Now, the Mishkan complex itself consisted of the area of the Kayanim and Levim that lived around the Mishkan. And then there was the Kedusha of the Mishkan. So that means that we have really three Machanos. We have Machane Yisrael, we have Machane Levia, and then we have the Chotzer of the Mishkan itself, which included the Mishkan. Now the translation of those Shalosh Machanos, Ledores, became Yerushalayim, which becomes the Machane Yisrael, which is all around. And then you have the Har HaBayit. Now, there it gets a little complicated because the Har HaBayit, remember, had also an additional structure that didn't appear in the Mishkan. So the Har HaBayit had various levels of Kedusha because even though there was the Mishkan complex, so to speak, which is Machane Shechina, in the very middle, which was the Beis HaMikdash itself, surrounded by the Azara. But remember that there was an additional Azara, which was the Azara's Noshim, that did not appear in the Mishkan. So the Ezra's Noshim over here was actually part of the Har HaBayit, except it was a different building, right? So you came onto the Har HaBayit, and the truth is there were other things. We're not going to go into all of the details, but you also had the Chel that the Rabbanan made with a different level of Kiddush. But let's just focus on the main areas. So we had the Ezra's Noshim, which is all part of the Har HaBayit overall, which has the halacha of the Machane Levia. When you're getting close to the entry into the actual Azara of the Machane Shechina, which is first the Ezras Yisrael, and then the Ezras Kohanim, which were not marked off by mechitzas, but there were stairs, remember? So there were the 15 stairs that went up. That's the Shir HaMalot, the 15 Shir HaMalot. Those stairs went up to Shar Nicanor. Remember, we called it Shar Nicanor because of the miracles that took place with the beautiful doors that he had brought, and they came up, and they had come along with the boat, even though the Goyim had thrown it overboard, and so on. Oh, beautiful story. And that area itself, even inside of the thickness of the wall, to enable a Metzora to get as close as possible to the Machane Shechina, where he's still usher to go, until he becomes completely Torah, he would only put his thumbs at the end of Shar Nicanor into the actual Machane Shechina. And that becomes a whole question about whether Bia B'Mikdash Shmabi and so on, is the Torah telling me to go in anyway, etc. That's not our business right now. But that means that we have three layers of Kedusha. Now, we know that different types of Tameim have different halachas of Shiluach Min HaMachane. So we know Mitzora is also to go in to any of the Machanas. And just like he can't go into Yerushalayim, he can't go into any city that has a wall around it. Because any city that has a wall around it also has a halacha of, this is perfect for Purim, could have had, if we would have had a chance to learn yesterday, we should have learned this stuff, would have been perfect, because we're talking about the differences between cities with a wall, cities without a wall. It sounds familiar, right? Okay, so the Mitzora was not allowed to go into any of these Machanais. Now, how about Azov and Azova? So Azov is allowed to go in to the Machane Yisrael, and therefore he can go into Yerushalayim itself, but he's not allowed to go into the Machane Shechina, and he's not even allowed to go into the Machane Levia. We're going to see that someone who is Tamei Meis, he is allowed even to go in to the, he's really allowed, we'll see, Midiraisa, even a mace itself is allowed to be brought into the Machane Levia, and even as Moshe Rabbeinu had brought a mace with him right into the Machane Levia, lechatchila, and that was Yosef. That's about Yosef. Imo, Gemara's going to darshan. Imo means imo b'mechitzato. So that means that there's obviously no iser of a mace coming into the Har HaBayit, right? Okay. So the thing is that he's not allowed to go midiraisa into Machane Shechina. So he can't go into the actual Mishka, which over here becomes the Azara Soviv, the actual Binyan HaBayis. So now let's think about what happens in the event that we have the case in the Mishnah where someone was Tevel, he was supposed to bring his Karbonis on the next day. So now was a Tevul Yom yesterday, today he's a Mechusar Kippurim. What is the impact of the Tefillah on someone who was completely Tameh? So it's a man, he was a Zov. He now went to the mikveh, but it's not nighttime yet. So he's still Tameh, but how Tameh? Is he Tameh like a regular Zov? Or is the Tevul Yom of a Zov less chomer than the Zov itself in terms of the dinim of Knisa L'Migdash? Now this, of course, would have implications, l'chora, on the sugya that we've been talking about, because we're talking about the Nazir who went to the mikveh, but did not have yet a chance for a Harif Shemesh. And what would be the din? Legabe his Karbonis, right? So it sounds very familiar to the issue of Tevul Yom. Okay, so Omer Abayis. Abayis says this, I want to tell you a story. I once walked in, I found Rav Nosson Bar Hoshaya. He was sitting there with his chavrusas, and they were talking over the sugya, and they said a braita. And they came to a conclusion which I considered to be absolutely unwarranted, and I fought with them about it. What they said was like this. It says that when the Zov is being mitaher, so it says, Uba lifnei Hashem, el petach ol moed, unetanam ala kohen. So the Zov comes to the Pesach of the ol moed. Pesach of the ol moed? What does that mean? That the Zov walked into the Machane Shechina with his Karbonas? Is that what it means? Because he has to hand them over to the Kohen. So if you read the Pasuk, says the Braita, Imatai huba, when exactly does he do this? Well, read the pasuk. The pasuk says like this. V'chi yitar hazav mizovo. So after he's no longer a zav, now he counts v'safarlo shivat yamim l'taharato. So he counts his full shivas nikiyim. He then goes to the mikveh. V'chi bes begadav, v'rachatz b'saro b'mayim chayim, v'taher. Now he's tahor. U'bayom hashmini, only on the eighth day, yikach lo shtei torim o shnei v'neyona, u'ba lifnei Hashem el petach ho'omoed l'tanam el ha-kohen. So what is this telling you? That he actually walks in and hands over to the Kohen. So where does he walk in? He walks into the Machane Leviyah, climbs up the 15 stairs of the entryway to Shar Niknor, and he hands over to the Kohen the Karbonis that he's bringing. And he can't go any further because he's still a Mechusar Kippurim. And a Mechusar Kippurim is not allowed to go into the actual Mokum of the Mikdash with the Azor around it. That's called Machane Shechina. How we know that, we're going to ask later. But we're making that assumption right off the bat. So therefore, what is the Pusik saying? When is he allowed to come and bring his Karbonis to the Kohen? Which means only that he's allowed to come and present it to the Kohen from his position in the Machane Leviyah. Please try to keep these straight because these are halachas all over Shas. You'll really be grateful that you got them clear. So the Brice is saying he can only come in, like the Pusik says, after he was already Taval and Vitaher, which means that it was sunset, and then the next day he's coming in when he's no longer at Tfuyon. Only then. But suppose he had not gone to the mikveh the day before, and he had not gone through Harev Shemesh, so then he's not allowed into even the Machane Leviyah. Because only after that can he come into the Machane Leviyah to hand his korbanos to the Kohen. So what Rav Nosson Bar Hoshaya's group over there was discussing when I walked in, they said, what do you see from here? You see from here that if he had gone to the mikveh, but he had, let's say he went that morning to the mikveh, he would not have been allowed to come in and bring his korbanos. Now you see the relationship to the Mishnah, right? We're talking about on the same day, can you bring your korbanos? So here it's making it very clear. He had to go on the seventh day, Vitahar, which means it was after sunset, and then come on the eighth day with his korbanos. That's what the pasuk says. So that makes it very clear that if, in fact, he had gone to the mikveh this very morning, then there was no Harev Shemesh, and then he would have to wait till the next day, because he's not allowed to come in and to hand his korbanos over to the Kohen. So you see clearly from this brisa that we're darshaning from the pasuk that a tful yom of a zav has the same din as a zav. The same way that a Zov is not allowed to come into the Machane Leviyah, which includes the Har HaBayit and the Ezras Noshim, the Zov, who was a Tvul Yom, you'd say, well, he's already attenuated his Tuma, so maybe there's no Iser. No. Even though he's attenuated his Tuma, and he's now a Tvul Yom, he has the same exact halakas that the Zov himself had. He is not allowed to come in, and therefore has to wait till the next day. I, says Abaye, who overheard this conversation, I absolutely disagreed, and I went out there to fight them and to show them that it's ridiculous. Amina lo anana. So what I said to them was, if what you're saying is right, then you're going to have a big trouble in understanding the din of a nazir. That's how this whole thing comes up here. Because you see, when it comes to the Nazir Tame, it says exactly the same words in the Torah as it says over here. I mean, it doesn't really say it exactly, but it boils down to the same thing, because it says, V'gilach rosho b'yom taharato b'yom hashmini yigalchenu u'b'yom hashmini yavishtei torim u'shnei v'nei yona. Now, you said that if he has to wait until the next day after he took care of his tumah the day before, and only then is he allowed to come in to bring his korbanos, and that was your proof that a tful yom of a zav is like a zav, then you're going to have to say the same thing about the pasuk of the nazir tameh who is a tameh mace. I will quote you guys, brilliant Russia. Look at this pasuk. This teaches us Here, word for word, I'm going to quote you guys, okay? Ema tayuba, when is he allowed to come in? Only bisman shetaval the asar of Shemesh. And then he comes the next day. But he can't even walk up to the Shar Nikanor to give the Kayanim. His karbonas until he went to the mikveh, which proves that a tful yom of a mate is like a mate. No, oh, you guys are up the creek without a paddle. Because even a mate is allowed to go up the Shar Nikanor. What do you mean the tful yom of a tumas mate? It's ridiculous. So obviously your whole drush is nonsensical. If Moshe Rabbeinu was able to bring a mate into, up to the Shar Nikanor, and that's dead men walking. I mean, you were talking about a live man walking, you know. He was only tummy mate, and he had already gone to the mikveh. He can't walk up to Shar Nikanor? Are you crazy? So obviously, your drasha makes no sense. You're reading the pasuk wrong. It's not what the pasuk meant. Because mikveh, I mean, just think about it. Where was Shar Nikanor? Where is Shar Nikanor? It should say B'machane Leviyah. Shar Nikanor is only in the Machane Leviyah, okay? So what are you saying? That a tummy mate is not allowed to come into Machane Leviyah? Yatanya, a tummy mate, forget about a tvuyom of a tummy mate is mutter likanes the Machane Leviyah. As a matter of fact, if you had dead men walking, even the dead man is allowed to walk into the Machane Leviyah. Well, if he needs a little bit of help for somebody to support him, then that person is allowed to bring him into the Machane Leviyah. So, lo tamei meit bovada la filu meit atzmo. Shenema vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef imo. What do you think imo means? Imo. Means imo b'mechitzato. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu was mamish, brought in a mate into the area of Machane Leviyah, where he lived. Imo b'machane Leviyah. So that means that your drasha is not true, because we can't apply it to the case of the Nazir, who was tummy b'tumas meis, and therefore we should not apply it to the case of the Zav. And by the Zav, it also doesn't mean what you say it means, that if he's a tful yom, he's not allowed to be in the Machane Leviyah. That doesn't make any sense. Fine. So therefore, I'm going to have to explain to you what it does mean, because, I mean, the Torah does say that. So what does it mean? I'll tell you. Ella, says Abaya, the truth is that a tful yom of a zav is not like a zav. And even so, what the Torah is saying is true. He cannot go in to the Machane Leviyah. Why? Because he's not only a tful yom, gentlemen. It's talking about over here a zav who has to bring korbanos. Now, a zav who has to bring a korban. Remember, there are two types of tumas ziva that on the outside seem exactly the same. One is the zav bal shtei re'iyos, and one is the zav bal shalosh re'iyos. Now, both of them require counting 7 days of taira, right? But the difference is that the zav bal shalosh re'iyos also has to bring korbanos. It becomes a b'chus kippurim. The pasuk that's saying over here, and on the eighth day he brings his korbanos, which one of the zavs is it talking about? What would you say, boys? You agree it's talking about a zav bal shalosh re'iyos by definition? Okay. So that means that what the Torah is really saying is that if a zav is a mechusar kippurim and he's also a tful yom, then he's got to wait. He can't be both. He can't be two stages before Taira. But suppose he's only one stage before Taira? You're agreed. If he's no longer a tful yom, he's still a mechusar kippurim by definition. If he's bringing his karbanos to the kohen, how about that? So then he walks in. How can he walk in? He's a mechusar kippurim because he's attenuated the tumah to such an extent that he's only one step before a complete taira, and therefore he can go in. By extension, a zav bal shtei re'iyos who is a tful yom is also only one step away from Tahira. He's waiting for sunset. So therefore, in the same way that that Mechusar Kippurim is allowed in when he's only one step away, so too, the Zav is allowed in if he's only one step away. But you can't prove that a Tfuyom of a Zav has the same din of a Zav. That's what it means. So Kivan the Mechusar Kapara, because of the fact that he's not only a Tfuyom, but he's also Mechusar Kippurim, then he's not allowed to go into Machra Levia. So when the Bryce has said, B'yom HaShmini, these Yavir Korbanotav al Petach Omoi, we're over there, it's mashma that the Tvuyom itself has the same din as a Zav? No. The truth is that Ibe Machna Levia Koi, think about this. If we're talking about that he is a Mechusar Kippurim, where does a Mechusar Kippurim stand? Mechusar Kippurim stands Bishar Niknor when he's handing the Kohen the Korbanos. Mr. Kohen, I can't come in because I'm a Mechusar Kippurim, but I got these Korbanos over here that you need to bring for me. Could you please take them? Of course, Reb Barnea comes, takes the Korbanos from him to make sure to give him a hand, literally. All right? So if that's the case, can you explain to me, says Abaye, how the heck it says Petach Olamoid? He can't come to the Petach Olamoid. So it's a terribly misleading pasuk, isn't it? Why would it say he should come to the Petach Olamoid if he's not allowed to come into the Petach Olamoid? So why would we call Shar Niknar the Petach Olamoid? This is the brilliant, correct drasha, and the way to understand it, says Abaye. It's coming to tell me that in exactly the same way that a Mechusar Kippurim, even when he's not a Tfuyom any longer, right? It's the next day. And he already did his tefillah, like it says in the Pasuk, and he had his taira the night before. So in the same way that the Mechusar Kippurim is not allowed to come into the actual Pesach Olamoy, so too, a Mechusar L'machan Levia Nami Mechusar Kippurim Lo Ayil. So that means that just as a normal Mechusar Kippurim cannot go into the Machane Shechina, the same thing would be true that if he was not only a Mechusar Kippurim, but he was also a Tfuyom, he would not be allowed to come even into the Machane Levia. That's what the Chiddush of the Pasuk is, and that's what you guys misunderstood. It's not that Tfuyom Dezav is Kizav. It's that any Mechusar Kippurim who didn't also complete his tefillah the day before, he's not even allowed to come up to the Shar Niknor as if it were Pesach HaOmoed. That's what it's saying. Beautiful drasha, but nothing like what you guys understood, because there was no way to actually fit that into the dinim of the Nazir, because the Nazir doesn't have anything like that. Now, even though it says the same lotion by the Nazir, Abaye is thinking to himself, it says over there also Petach HaOmoed. But over there, it means Petach HaOmoed. Because he has no problem. He can come into the Petach HaOmoed, right? The Nazir is already completely Tohar. He's not a Mechusar Kippurim. The Karbonis that he's bringing are for his Naziris. They have nothing to do with his Taira. So when it says that Lashon by itself, it means exactly what it says. Or so one could say. We'll see whether it literally means exactly what it says. But that we'll be discussing in a moment. And how do we know that we're taking for granted, in the same way that a Mechusar Kippurim cannot go into the Machane Shechina? How do you know that a Mechusar Kippurim cannot go into the Machane Shechina? That we actually know from a diak in the Pasuk, beautiful Pasuk. Ki mei nida lo zarak alav. Here it's talking about someone who is a Tamei Meis, and he's Chayev Kares, if he goes into the Machane Shechina. And the Lashon is, why? Ki mei nida lo zorak alav. The Pora Aduma's water was never sprinkled on him. Tamei yeh, he shall be Tamei. And then it says the craziest thing. Ode to Matobo. After all, he's still Tamei. What? So why did you say Tamei yeh? What do you mean he should be Tamei? He is Tamei. What are those words, Tamei yeh? They don't even make any sense. That's the beauty. Tamei yeh is coming to tell me there is another tuma that is exactly the same. Tamei yeh tells me that even a Tvul Yom is considered to be tameiyeh in the same way that he cannot come into the Machane Shechina. And when you also say O tumas sobo, which is obvious because it says nida lo zorak alav, that's coming to tell me the rabbi is mechuser kapara, and that anyone is a mechuser kippurim cannot go into the Machane Shechina, even though you think for that it's already so attenuated his tumah. Couldn't he go in to bring his korbanos? No. Beautiful.